Here I am. So yes, in 1976, I had a near-death experience. I was 22 years old. And I will be 70 this coming June, so it was quite a while ago. So I was living in Colorado at the time, and I came back northeast to visit my parents and went to a party. And was drinking and smoking pot and kind of not thinking I was too high to drive, but I probably was. So I remember leaving. It was a party in someone's house that I knew from high school, and the house was crowded. There was music. People were dancing. I kind of remember going to leave the house. I remember a little bit walking to my car, and I don't remember getting in my car. The next thing I remember, I was out of my body in the white light, looking down. My body was leaning against a tree like this with my legs out. A police officer was crouching over me. It was nighttime there. It was definitely white where I was. There was behind me, even though I wasn't looking that way, I knew there was a big circle of white with a full silhouette of a white being in there. My experience was very kinesthetic and feeling and loving and knowing and warmth. Always beyond what I, every time I describe it, it seems not quite to get there. But so I didn't know, I don't know how long it was. When I tell the story, it only takes like 2 minutes, but it didn't feel like that. It felt much longer. And then the being behind me said, "You have to go back. Your father wants you to stay." The one thing I definitely knew in words was the father he was talking about was God, not my physical father. So I had this amazing experience, and I came back to the world in 1976, and it wasn't like I ever heard of near-death experiences. I had read autobiography, Yogi and Hermann Hesse books, but never really even related that to what I did, because that just seemed like not me, a normal, you know, person. And so something that did happen to me, a couple of things happened, and I'm still in the process of discovering what this means. One thing is my hands would become warm when I touched someone almost instantly. And again, now everyone would know, oh yeah, healing powers. But I never even heard those words or even knew that. The other thing was I just started to meet people that knew about this stuff. And the thing I did come back with, kind of not knowing, was a blessing, because I needed to know. And that's kind of been the purpose of my life ever since, needing to know. Something happened not too long after I recovered and was able to get back to my life. All of a sudden, one day I was in my apartment, someone knocked on the door. I opened the door, there was this beautiful woman there. And I had moved back east. My mom kind of bribed me to move back from Colorado. And this woman said, the sister of a good friend of yours from Colorado, and she told me some really cool things about you. Now, the woman in Colorado was she was someone I mentioned my experience to, even though not using the word near-death experience, not even know what to make of it. And then the woman at the door said, "I know a man who teaches about what happens after we die, and I want to introduce you to him." And you know, I knew this happened all these years, but a few years I realized, wow, this was so cool. This woman just showed up at my door. I didn't have to do anything. And I sometimes wonder, what would I have made of all this if that didn't happen? I assume something else would have happened, but I was just trying to get back to work and kind of forget about the spiritual experience, to tell you the truth. So she introduced me to someone who was a Sufi sheikh in the Mevlevi Dervishes. Now, the Mevlevi Dervishes follow the teachings of Jalaluddin Rumi, Rumi the poet, that everyone seems to know about. And so I spent 10 years with this man, sometimes in person, sometimes not, but traveling all over the country and some into Canada, studying this stuff. So I think you guys have some of the quotes I'm going to use here. So I'm going to read the first quote. You know, I'm always looking for how to describe this, and it, like I said, the words seem to pale, but Rumi seems to have a way with words, as we all know. So this, and part of the name of this talk is based on this, so this quote is, "Love is the telescope of the mysteries of God. Whether love be from this earthly side or from that heavenly side, in the end it leads us to God. Whatsoever I say in exposition or explanation of love, when I come to love itself, I am ashamed of that explanation. Although the commentary of the thoughts makes all clear, thoughtless love is clearer. And to me, that really says what this is, because no matter what the words I use to describe this, it's never it. So I had it, of course, you know, the words in the song were just perfect. I had all this stuff going on inside of me, and I still know it. And even though I met people that knew and told me the words, it's still been this unraveling and discovering inside of me. So I did have this urge to learn and find out about this. I had all these synchronicities. Like, it's amazing how many people I just started bumping into anywhere, you know. And the other thing was, my hands did become warm, and it helped people, even in spite of me. One of the first things that happened that I kind of registered in my mind, so my next door neighbor growing up, there was a kid my age, the father and the grandfather. So the grandfather was really sick, and they were saying he was going to pass away, you know, pretty much any moment. And the father was telling me that. And I said to him, and almost joking around, I said to him, I will pray for him. And I did, and I felt something happen. I mean, I really felt something happen. And I let it go, thinking, who knows what it was. But next time I saw the father, which was a couple of days later, he said to me, I think something happened when you prayed, because his father went from being, you know, basically they were getting ready for him to pass any day to, he was alive and awake and happy and stuff like that. And I've had a bunch of experiences like that, and it's still kind of in me happening, and my mind still doesn't understand it. And I get that experiences quite a lot. One of the times that really let me look at what I do and really appreciate it is some years ago, so I've had a healing practice for years, and someone who was one of my clients forced her friend to come see me. Now, her friend had a miscarriage, and whatever the complications were in her body, her health was suffering. The doctor said to forget ever having a kid. We're lucky if you're, I mean, they didn't even think she was gonna make it. So, and I knew as soon as I saw her, I could help her. After two sessions, she sent me an email saying, I don't know what you do, but the doctors say I'm getting better. And then about a year later, I heard she was pregnant, and then she ended up having a baby boy. And even when that happened, it didn't quite sink in, because it's almost like I'm was embarrassed about what I do in a certain way, like sharing these deep spiritual secrets. It's almost like you're not supposed to do that. But so a couple of years later, it was around Thanksgiving, and I had started posting things online, and I was looking for things to post, looking for things to be thankful for. And I came across this email, and I saw this, and I said, wow, that is like really cool. And I was able to kind of step back and look at what I do without my ego identifying with it. And now I just get such a thrill about what I do and get to help people. But I can look at it in a way, like it is like a blessing from God every time that I'm just happening to be part of, really. It's just the greatest thing. As I said, the part of not knowing, though, is still going on, because I don't know how this happens. I had someone not that long ago who had a session with me, and it didn't seem like anything very phenomenal happened, but she wrote me a text a little while later saying something shifted and how much better she was feeling, and it was just so nice to hear that. So as I came up with these quotes, I had a whole different talk plan, but I'm going to stick with the quotes. So the part of not knowing is really an important thing here. So I have a Charles Fillmore quote. People who live wholly in the intellect deny that man can know anything about God because they do not have quickened faith. They bring forth the God presence. The way to bring forth the God presence, to make oneself conscious of God, is to say, I have faith in God. I have faith in spirit. I have faith in things invisible. Such affirmations of faith, such praise to the invisible God, the unknown God, will make God visible in the mind and will strengthen the faith faculty. So that part of not knowing, the part of, you know, trusting that something there, and it is opening up. It's going into this childlike awe and wonder. So when I start, the first, very right away, so the Sufis are Islamic. I was born in a Jewish family. So this Sufi teacher, Islamic teacher, started talking to me about Mary and Jesus right away. And he talked about how open Mary was to the Christ energy. And as soon as he said that, I knew that that's what happened in my near-death experience. So I had words for that. And then he started to talk about Jesus, and I knew that being behind me was Jesus. But that part of how Mary let in the Christ energy to really manifest Jesus inside of her, like that was, you know, and still I say that, I just feel this energy inside, and it's really wonderful. So I've got to find my other quote I have here. So the cool thing about Rumi is, even though he was Islamic, it seems like everyone in every religion is open to listening to what he has to say. Okay, so here's, and this is unity in a nutshell. The Jesus of your spirit is present with you. Beg aid from him, for he is a goodly aider. But do not every moment lay on the heart of Jesus the unprofitable work of providing for a body full of bones. Seek not from your Jesus the life of the body. Ask not from your Moses the wish of a Pharaoh. Burden not your heart with thoughts of livelihood. Livelihood will not fail with constant attendance at the divine court. So anyway, that part of, you know, don't basically focus on God, and your livelihood will not fail if by doing that, because all this stuff is good. So I've learned somewhat how to follow this thing inside of me, like we're all doing, of these great things in us, the Christ in us. Whether that, I mean, I get to do something that's easy to see what that is, but I get to watch my daughter. She makes videos, and the Christ comes through that, you know. And everyone has a thing where they can bring the Christ through and be expressing that in the world. So I encourage everyone to trust in your awesomeness and trust in your, you know, we meditate, I do journal writing, which is one of the greatest things. Every day, focus on my gratitude, and these are gifts of God coming through me, that are through me, in me, part of me, and I don't even know how to explain it because it can't ever get quite there. Okay. So now we are going to go into the meditation. So the part of what I do when I heal people, basically, is I can see something really good in them, no matter what is going on. And I don't always know exactly what that is either, but it's this light, and I see it in everybody. And I just hold that and know that that is there. And I get to work with people all over the world. It's really cool. I get a big thrill out of it. Sometimes I work with people in countries where it's a different day. And in my liking sci-fi kind of mind, it's like time travel to me. So you can close your eyes and take your breath. So we're gonna invite that loving, healing energy in this meditation. And I'm gonna start with a quote from the Bible, which is John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So take a big breath and feel your breath. That could be feeling your nose or mouth, or your chest or belly, whichever moves when you breathe. And feel yourself sitting in the chair and your feet on the ground. Now focus into the center of your chest and your heart center, in the center of spiritual loving. And just imagine that as a ball of energy. It could be clear, it could be white or a color. It could even be the shape of how we draw a heart for Valentine's Day. I just imagine that expanding and getting bigger and filling your chest up and expanding up through your neck and out through your arms, down through your pelvis. And with each breath, getting bigger and bigger to surround your whole body and expand out however much you feel comfortable doing that. Now, in your heart is the center of the Christ, and we're going to invite in the Christ light from outside. And just imagine that energy coming in, filling your body, filling your emotions, your thoughts, your being. With each breath, just feel that vibrating. If there's anything in your life that you would like healing for, any situation, any parts of your body, your emotions, your thoughts, just allow that light to fill you. Just allow your creative imagination to go where it will go. If there's any situation in your life that you'd like to send the light to, or any situation in the world, you can imagine that happening. Just imagine your light expanding enough. And then bring to mind some of your positive qualities and attributes that are the blessings God brings here through you. It could be loving, it could be intellect, it could be creativity. Start to feel yourself sitting in the chair again. Feel your feet on the ground. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be of service. Amen.